Hi, it's Thursday, January the 27th, and you are listening to Against the Current, brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM's News Collective. We aim to bring you an alternative and undercover current affairs coverage from Vancouver and Lower Mainland every Thursday at 3 p.m. Based on UBC's Vancouver campus, on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I'm Trish Mahant.
I'm Yuna Sato.
We went on a little break during exam season and for the winter break, but we are now finally back from our little break to doing regular shows for the 2022 year. And yeah, I have Yuna with me here today, and we are just going to check in a little bit with each other and see how things are going and just talk to you about one of the news incidents that happened on campus, on UBC campus recently, which was very interesting and a little bit scary, but we'll talk about that later. But to start off, Yuna, how are you doing and how was your break?
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. My break was pretty boring, I guess. I was kind of stuck in Vancouver. I got to spend time with my friends, which was nice, but I did want to go home. It's been a while since I've been home to New Zealand. I think the last time I was there was September 2020, so it would have been nice to go home, but, you know, due to some quarantine restrictions, that wasn't really looking possible for me.
Yeah, that sounds really rough. That's a long time to, you know, spend away from home and not be able to go home. So you said last time you went home was, what month was it?
Right, like the last time I was in New Zealand, which is where I'm from, was in September 2020. So I was there from like March in 2020 when the pandemic started until September, and then I came back to school.
Right. Wait, how was your experience like traveling and during middle of the COVID season and with COVID just starting to spread and all the lockdowns? It might have been probably really scary.
Traveling in March 2020 was probably one of the most chaotic things in my life at that time, because I think they canceled or they cut off all direct flights between Vancouver and New Zealand from April 1st onwards. And I flew in on March 31st or something like that, 30th. So it was one of the last flights. And all of my flights before that kept getting canceled and I had to reschedule. I remember being on the phone with the airline like three times a day, every day for a week or something, trying to book a ticket home and make sure that it wasn't going to get canceled. And then when I finally did have a flight confirmed, I got to the airport and there was absolutely no one there. I've never seen it like that. So that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
It was deserted, but I did get upgraded to business class. So that was nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a nice perk. But that sounds awful, because like March was also like, you know, you were basically getting kicked out of university. So you had to pack all of your stuff so quickly and just leave. And it was
That's true. So chaotic.
Because we had one more month of exam season, but it was right before the exam season. So it was
About that.
Yeah. That is very weird. Yeah. The airports, even now, I think the last time I went home to Saskatchewan, it was way more crowded than it used to be. The travel restrictions domestically are just very lenient nowadays compared to when the pandemic first started. It first started, it was pretty empty, and yeah, it was a weird experience because I used to leave for the airport like an hour before, and but I was still able to like make it through the security and everything. But now I have to like schedule in the waiting time that I have to stand in the line for security.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I have to leave earlier. Yeah, so that's kind of weird. But yeah, it was honestly, it was kind of weird going back home just for the holidays, because it was so crowded. It seemed so weird to me. I'm like, why are these people here and traveling, even like sitting on the plane right beside someone who like so close to someone, and the whole entire plane was just packed. And yeah, it did not feel COVID safe, and it's a tiny plane because it's a tiny flight. So yeah, but
I didn't even think of that, like, because the last two times that I traveled between New Zealand and Vancouver, so the first time I got upgraded to business, and even then it was pretty empty.
Right.
And it was really spacious. There was only like maybe 10 people in the whole business cabin. And then when I was flying back from New Zealand to Vancouver in September 2020, I had the whole row to myself. I don't think there was anyone in front or behind me. It was really empty. I mean, I guess New Zealand is a pretty small place anyways, but I think that was between New Zealand and LA, because that was the only place that flights were going to from New Zealand to North America. And even then it was like 3 or 5 flights a week, which is really little considering normally you can fly direct from New Zealand to like Vancouver, to LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, even like Houston.
Yeah. So
to reduce all of that, multiple flights per week down to just 3 flights to LA is pretty like a really big cut down. And even then, my flight was super empty. So that was pretty weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really weird. And like, just even now, travel to New Zealand is just so, so limited. Like,
yeah, I mean, the borders aren't open. Yeah. And even for the people who are allowed in, which is, I guess, I don't know, like special essential workers or someone on a work contract maybe, and of course residents and citizens. I think the last I heard, or the last I looked, we had to do a 1-week quarantine stay at a hotel, and then upon negative testing, I think 1 week at home. I'm not sure if it's changed since like November, but that's what it was. And so for me, it wasn't worth going all the way to New Zealand. If I did even manage to get a spot in isolation, actually, because that's a lottery system, and a lot more people want to go than they have rooms available at hotels. So, you know, even if I did manage to get a room, I would have had to spend several thousand dollars on a hotel room for 1 week, and then isolate at home for another week, and then essentially have like 2 or 3 days of freedom, and then come all the way back to Vancouver. So it wasn't really worth it.
Yeah. And like, weren't you telling me about the New Zealand airline staff getting laid off too?
Yeah, so a lot of people, I think, I'm not sure if I remember this correctly, but I have a family friend whose parent works at Air New Zealand, and we heard that everyone, maybe not everyone, but the majority of staff who had been at Air New Zealand for 15 years or less got laid off, because I mean, no one is flying right now, so you had to, you know, reduce the staff, I guess. So yeah, it's pretty sad, but they're downsizing big time.
Yeah, that's crazy. And like, when you compare that with travel to Europe right now, or just like during the entire pandemic basically, because it was just, even in the middle of the pandemic, you would see people traveling and going to Europe.
I think Europe and America, well, North America in general, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is just university students, because I'll see on my Instagram story or like even on TikTok, everyone seems to be traveling right now, like whether it's within the United States or to Europe, which is just, it's still kind of weird to me, just because I can't even get home. So
Yeah, that's that's really sad that you haven't been home in so long. And yeah, I just saw a TikTok about this too, because I don't know if this was real or not, but this person was showing how a flight from Toronto to Portugal is $249.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that is so tempting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they booked the flight right away. I was like, oh, wow. That is insane. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so cheap. Very cheap to travel to Europe right now.
Mm.
And yeah. I don't know what the ticket price is like for Singapore, though. I don't even know if we're allowed in
right.
to Singapore right now, since, I don't know, to all the listeners who are listening, Yuna and I had tickets booked from before the pandemic even started to go to Singapore in March. I think it was March.
It was May.
Oh, yeah. We booked it in March, I think.
No, we booked it in like January.
Oh, really?
Before COVID was a thing. March is already a pandemic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I remember looking at the news articles coming out and we were like, oh, should we worry about this? But we didn't like think that it would get like this, you know, big. Yeah. And now 2 years in and we're still not like not in Singapore. And yeah, it's kind of sad. And I don't know what's happening with that anymore too. Hopefully we're able to go sometime soon.
Yeah, to be continued for now.
Yeah, but the COVID situation is just like so unpredictable. Like, yeah, even university, we were back to normal life
and then yeah.
Omicron just like shut everything down and now we're back to normal life again. So
I guess so.
Yeah, starting February 7th, 8th. Wow, yeah, it's so unpredictable. It's all over the place. Yeah, that's very weird. But yeah, thank you for sharing all of your COVID travel stories.
Of course.
Be longer than, yeah, we thought. But thank you for sharing all of that. And I hope you get to go home soon and your family and your dogs.
Thank you. I hope we get to go to Singapore soon.
Oh, yeah, I hope we do. Hopefully. We planned it when we were 19 and now we're gonna be 22 this year. It's kind of reeky. Yeah, well, moving on to a more hopeful note, do you have any New Year resolutions for 2022?
Not to disappoint, but I don't know. It's something that I usually think of every year. And then going into 2022, that didn't even cross my mind.
Right.
I feel like this is a pretty common thing that happened for a lot of people. Yeah. I asked so many people and everyone was like, no, I'm not even trying.
Yeah.
So I think my most concrete resolution is to get a job since I'm graduating. But other than that, that's kind of it. How about you?
It did not even feel like a new year since we are still in COVID and like there's still so many like people struggling and it's just not a good economy and
yeah,
feel like something that I should be celebrating, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, did not even cross my mind. But yeah, getting a job would be nice this year. But that's, I think that is my goal this year. And going to Singapore. That's on the board.
Yes. I mean, that's not really up to us, but yeah. That would be really nice.
But still, we can hope. I can manifest it.
Exactly.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Start off your new year with a new skill. This spring, Emily Carr University's Continuing Studies is proud to offer courses and workshops online and in person. Choose from over 100 courses, from weekend workshops designed for beginners to skills-focused certificate programs. Whether you're seeking an artistic outlet or looking to add to your professional skill toolkit, Emily Carr has you covered. From painting to print media, industrial design to web design, there's something for everyone. Find your fit at ecuad.ca/cs. Register now and commit to your creative future.
Interested in making radio? How about hosting your own show? At CITR, you can make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From news, art, sports, to gender empowerment, accessibility, music, and the BIPOC collective, there's definitely something for everyone. Explore new worlds both virtually and at our station, and be prepared to have a blast with some new pals. For more information or to join, please visit citr.ca/get involved.
Moving on to a more campus local news thing that took place on January 22nd, so very recent. There was a rat found. It's a great transition, by the way. There was a rat found in Orchard Commons, which is a first-year residence at UBC. And the rat was seen in the kitchen, just chilling and looking for some food to eat.
Just chilling in the dining hall.
Literally. And it raised some very serious concerns about food safety in the first-year residences. And when the video went like completely viral, what was your initial reaction to it?
I think, I'm not sure how I even first saw it, but my friend sent me a screen recording of a Snapchat, and that looked like it had been recorded multiple times. So I'm sure it had already been making the rounds at that point. But my first reaction, I think I was mortified because I used to eat there like every day as a first year. And then I noticed how the chef, I'm not sure, maybe he's just a really calm person in general, but the way he so nonchalantly grabbed the rat with tongs and then kind of just tossed him aside, like, oh, not again, like, you know, just another day, another rat kind of thing. I was like, that was probably what I was most worried about. Is he made it look like such a normal occurrence. I'm like, does this happen every day?
You know,
it did not look like his first time seeing a rat in open kitchen. That was concerning for me.
And you actually lived in first years and ate the first year residence food.
A lot of people on campus definitely.
And like, I've heard so much about, you know, the food being really, really bad and not good at all in the first year residences. I honestly wasn't that surprised, but then at the same time, it's very shocking too, because I didn't actually expect a brat to be just like chilling in the kitchen, just like, you know, just scurrying around, just going by its day. It was weird. And I think you were the one who showed me that video too.
It wasn't even like hidden in the crevices of like the behind the scenes of the kitchen or anything. It was right on top of the serving area, essentially right next to the food. There's like a glass barrier between, you know, where people come up and order the food and where the food is stored or like kept warm. And the rat was essentially right on the inner side of the barrier where the food was. So, you know, that's how it was caught on video by a student, I'm assuming. And that was pretty shocking too, because if there's one rat where there's all of those people and there's like so much light and, you know, noise, then I can't even imagine how many there might be in like in the back of the kitchen, you know, or like under the ovens and stuff.
There's so many
Yeah. And now that you bring it up about, you know, being surprised that it was there, honestly, I don't know. I think OC is, no, I don't think, I know that OC is the newest residence by far. Totem, the newest first year residence. Totem right. and Place Vanier, much, much older
mm-hmm.
As buildings. So I'm kind of surprised that OC was where the rat was found. I think I would have been less shocked if right. there were rat incidents in Totem or Vanier.
Right.
But if there's rats in OC, then there's probably rats in all of the first year residences.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I decided to do some little bit of research on this whole situation, and it didn't even take me long. I looked at Reddit and mm-hmm. so many people were saying that this has happened before. There was a quote saying that that it's happened thrice. If they said, if I had a nickel every time someone I knew from UBC had to deal with a rat, I would have 15 cents. That's not a lot, but it's still weird that it's happened thrice. And then people were saying that you know of. So it's probably happened so many times. And people were then commenting about other health issues that their UBC res has caused. And they were like, oh, remember the salad with salmonella that got around 300 kids sick with food poisoning?
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. So this has been happening for a long time. And there was this one person, they were like, oh, I used to work at the Vanier cafeteria in 2014 to 2015, and there were rats seen scurrying around on the ground from time to time. Cooks were never surprised, and yeah, but that sounds so horrible. Yeah, so this has been a real problem for a long time, I guess. And
no.
Yeah, and after the rat video went viral, I think UBC staff did come out and say that, oh yeah, we have sanitized the area for 20 minutes, and yeah, and the tongs are now thrown away. But I don't know what 20 minutes of sanitization of that one area mm-hmm. does for the rat problem. That's definitely way bigger.
Yeah
way problematic.
Oh, that's so scary, because yeah. I mean, if there's one in plain sight, then there's probably so many others that you can't even see.
Exactly.
I feel like the Point Grill these days, we live near there, and I feel like it's been really busy these days. So yeah. I'm assuming all of the first years are flocking from the dining halls to go just anywhere else they can, which is totally fair. I would definitely do the same.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it's on campus too, so how is that? Since the Point food is not that good as well. But yeah, and then there was this, they're coming out with the new health problems that UBC has been causing to, you know, to UBC students, and this person took a picture of raw chicken that was served to them.
Oh.
And Totem, I think, just recently, and it was very raw, and people were commenting, oh, that one is still alive.
My goodness. I thought that was just at like down low, but I guess Totem, wow, I'm not surprised.
Actually
one time in Totem, when I was a first year and I lived in the Totem, in Totem, my friends and I were at the dining hall, and one of my friends got, it was like a soup, I think, or a curry that they got served. So it wasn't a self-serving thing, but you know, someone served it to her, and she paid for it, and we sat down and we were eating, and she picked something up in her food, and it was this metal knob or something. It was big. It was like, I'm not sure how to describe it, but it was like, I don't know, I don't have an equivalent thing, but it was about as like wide as a coin. Oh, and it was like 3 or 4 centimeters tall. It was not small. So I'm not sure how that got in there. We don't even know what it was, but it was definitely metal. And good thing it wasn't like crushed or anything. Yeah. At least it was big enough to be visible and she didn't eat it.
Yeah.
And she took it back and was like, hey, I found this giant metal knob in my soup that you just served me. And they were just like, oh, okay. Okay, my bad. And then took it back. So we had no idea what that was. But that was how they handled it.
That's crazy to me. Since so many thousands of students are being forced to pay to buy the meal plan.
Yeah.
And they can't even serve like good food and keep rodents away, which is like very basic thing that people should be able to, the university who prouds itself on being one of the best in the world,
should be able
to do, you know, provide food for its students. It really makes me envy Yale and all the TikTok food courts that are at like the Ivy League university. They look way, way better.
They do. They look amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy that they're actually getting what they're paying for, but like so many meal plan dollars, flex dollars,
I think. Riz and flex,
yeah, they're like wasted too, because once you load the card you can't take them out. Is that how it
works? Yeah, so with the Riz meal plan, all first years who live in OC, Totem and Bene, they're essentially forced to buy the meal plan, and the Riz dollars that you use at the dining halls can only be used at certain locations on campus, so a lot of people don't end up using them. And I'm not sure if you can get that refunded. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I've met so many people too who are like, oh yeah, let's go somewhere to eat where I can use my flex dollars. Your residence that I didn't use up. And yeah, that's insane that a place like Orchard that's brand new, that's like, doing so poorly.
Yeah, I wonder how UBC would have handled this, or how Riz would have handled this, had the video not gone viral, or had the incident not been caught on video.
Yeah. If it was just some person complaining to them over the phone or over the email.
Yeah.
Then how would they have handled it? The thing is, they're like, even after it going so viral, I don't think much change is going to come.
Right.
So they probably would have, taken it even less seriously if it was over the email or over the phone. Which is so scary. I don't know what other response came from UBC. I think the health authorities came in and checked the place.
Right. Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah. They checked the place, but that's it. I don't know what's happening after that, because what about other residences? What about other food places on campus?
Right.
Yeah, it's so weird. And I was also reading some UBC article, and a UBC article or one of the Reddit accounts, and they were like, oh, UBC has a rat problem, a huge rat problem. And they were talking about the rat traps around all the buildings. I've never noticed those. Have you noticed any rat traps?
Really?
They're like black boxes with holes on the side.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I had no idea. No.
They're rat traps. And they said that they're obviously not working. This other person was like, oh, actually, they're not traps. They're poison baits. So the rats go off and die somewhere else.
But, that's not super pleasant either, but interesting.
I'm like, I didn't even know that we had such a big rat problem.
That's so crazy, because aren't there like no rats in Alberta? And that's like the province next door.
Yeah, that's crazy. All the rats are weirdly at UBC. So sometimes I feel like we need to like stop, I don't know, blaming the lower staff, you know, and it's really in the hands of like the people who are really like responsible for the stuff on the board or something.
Yeah, absolutely. People who are overseeing all of this. Yeah.
That's a real concern because they're not even in there eating.
Exactly.
Eating food every single day. It's the staff that has to deal with all of this mm-hmm. stuff. And if they're not provided with good quality food or good quality mm-hmm. produce, then they're not able to do much and they mm-hmm. you know. So it just really needs to be addressed like from the higher level or like from the overlords looking over the food safety and all of that stuff and the residents' food.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm looking forward to see what UBC comes up with for a solution mm-hmm. for this, like a concrete solution for this, if it even does, but hopefully we can see, I don't know, change.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Because it sucks for the first years who have paid thousands in meal plan dollars. And also dining halls are so convenient and they don't have a kitchen. They don't have access to anything except maybe a microwave, a kettle, and like a communal fridge.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can cook for yourself. Yeah. And then who is going to pay money to eat from somewhere else every day when you've already spent thousands mm-hmm. on meal plan dollars, you know? So that would really suck if they didn't make some changes.
So that's our show today, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our rant about the rat situation on campus. But this has been Against the Current by CITR News. We are here every Thursday at 3 p.m. bringing you local news, and stay tuned for more amazing programming.